We have a sort of a flagship product we call the Network Access Point of the Americas, or the NAP of the Americas, that was built in Miami several years ago, 8 years now. We are in the process of building on sort of a lateral scale a similar facility in Culpeper, Virginia, which is 61 miles from the Washington Monument. And we're putting it up one pod at a time, and a pod represents a raised floor data center building, an entity in its own right, between 50 and 60,000 square feet. Pod A was built in 10 months, filled in 6 months, and is now pretty much done. There's not much room for more in there. Pod B opened its doors just a few weeks ago, but has already sold out with remarkable speed. It's been just magnificent. Pod C, we have broken ground and are putting up the foundations and concrete work above the foundations as we speak. Pods D and E remain to be built. That will pretty much fill up the current campus, along with a 72,000-square-foot office building and campus headquarters, which is going to be opening its doors within the next couple of weeks.
Okay, and you said the real estate has sold out. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that. Explain what that means.
Inside any data center, you only have so much space defined by the actual physical footprint, the amount of air conditioning that you can bring to bear against the heat demands of servers, and a variety of other sort of parameters. And basically, once you've filled it, it's filled. And so our Pod A, which is about 55,000 square feet, is filled up with customers who, you know, who have co-location needs. Their servers are in this space, and you know, they manage their IT business through there. Let's put it that way.
And so, how does this fit in with TerraMark's overall plan to help the federal government when it comes to cloud computing and data centers and data privacy and security?
One of the reasons I think that our CEO first decided to build this facility in Culpeper, which used to be a 30-acre winery, was to make it federal-facing, to give it proximity enough to federal decision-makers so that they could get there if they needed to, and be improximate enough that it was outside of the blast zone. It is very, very secure. It's a level 3+ facility from a physical security, multi-layer security perspective. It uses 2N+1 redundancy of all information systems, so it's almost impossible to bring it down. It's sort of a place that you have to, you know, score a direct hit with a really large bomb. And so we have been able to fill it up not only with federal customers who require that kind of physical space for their missions, which are absolutely critical. We began largely with DOD and intelligence community kinds of missions, and now we are also moving into the civil sector of government. But we also have a number of large, prestigious Fortune 1000 companies that avail themselves of that space for the same reasons that their federal brethren do. But we don't just sell co-location there. It's also the foundation of a whole host of services, which we integrate as needed by federal customers to provide what amounts to one-stop shopping solutions for information technology problems.
And I don't know if you can speak in absolute numbers, but have you found, as you're doing this kind of work, that the government is ahead of the curve, or are they lagging behind the private sector? Can you speak to that at all?
I guess it would depend upon the particular product line. I think the government is moving to external and privately managed co-location, privately owned data centers like ours, because they can't really find ways within the government's funding process to recreate these on their own. It's very difficult to interest congressional decision makers and congressional committees in the basic problems of infrastructure. And one of those pods is, you know, $60 million or more. It's a capital investment that can cause a gulp if you're not in that line of work. And so for them to be able to avail themselves of it on a monthly recurring rate basis, or sort of as an operational expenditure rather than a capital expenditure, sometimes makes their lives a little easier. They get to share the cost with other federal organizations, and everybody's ship floats up at the same time. And that's a business model that makes sense both commercially and in the federal space. In the area of managed services, and specifically the area of enterprise cloud services, the federal government is definitely in the lead. It's from the time Vivek Kundra took office and President Obama took office, the federal government has created a position of leadership, vision. I mean, I'm very proud of them in terms of They don't often do this in the sphere of information technology. And it's not just about such things as economy. They also, at the very highest levels, understand the power of the cloud and its differentiators in a variety of ways. And so, yeah, I say they are in a leadership position at present.
One more question about, I guess, not private sector versus public sector, but I mean, Google is one of those companies that was kind of on the forefront, I mean, you know, 10 years ago when it came to email and Gmail and all that stuff. And now they're moving into the federal space. What's your take on that?
Well, I think there's a couple of different ways to look at it, Dorothy. The first is that whenever Google comes to town, that's a good thing because it creates a tremendous amount of visibility for that entire sphere of the market. And it won't hurt us at all to have, you know, more light shine on what we do. To the extent that Google does something similar, that's not going to be bad. It's always good to have a competitive environment. The second point I would make, though, is that Google has not yet created a cloud that's designed and intended for large-scale enterprise use. They have a public cloud that's largely a commodity-based cloud. And in this case, I'm talking, by the way, about infrastructure as a service, IaaS. We could talk higher up the stack about platform as a service or software as a service, where the answers might be somewhat different. But Google's infrastructure as a service is a classic commodity cloud where the customer doesn't really know anything about the underlying physical infrastructure itself upon which their data resides. And if you're a software developer and you want to swipe a card and spend a month or two messing around with code on something and you don't care too much about its security or its survivability, then that's a fine thing. But if you're running a mission for a large federal agency, you can't afford a commodity approach to your you know, information technology. It just doesn't work. It's not secure enough. It's not locatable. One of the things about our data centers, which I just described to you, they're almost like privately held military bases from the perspective of physical and other kinds of security, is we can point to that database, take a customer or a prospective federal client in, and say right there is where your cloud sits. You get all of the benefits of, you know, cloud agility, elasticity, high usability, extraordinary security because of where it resides. And so there's almost a compromise between their need for cloud differentiation, but also their need for the physicality that underpins it, at least to understand it. Google's not there yet. That's not to say they won't be there at some point. There's a lot that has to be done. It's the federal government, Dorothy. It's a fairly complex regulatory environment.
Yes.
You have to be able to qualify for FISMA compliance, which is defined by NIST. These are not easy things to do. And as far as I know, TerraMark's the only company that's actually done it successfully in cloud environments to date.